Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered as you listen to the Word of God.
Please take your seats in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And we pray for also for all the other sick people that are not here today. It's just today we are praying for Verity. Maybe the Lord will lay someone else in our hearts. But we pray for them. Amen. That God will heal them. Anybody going for schedule for an operation, may the Lord heal and deliver. Hallelujah. We also come to the house of God to pray for one another. Hallelujah. We don't just come for our own needs. Hallelujah. We praise, we come so we can stand in the gap. The Bible says prayer was offered to God for him. So we come here, when you come and we pray together on Friday, we stand here to offer prayers to God for them. Hallelujah. Yeah, not that you don't need prayers, but we esteem other people's needs more, better than our own needs. Hallelujah. We esteem other people's breakthrough more urgent than our own. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's not that we don't need prayers. It's not that we don't need breakthroughs, but we trust God for others. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. 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 Say hallelujah.
Just laid in my heart to also remember Hau and her baby. Won't you put your hand on your heart and pray for Hau and her baby? Lepala mante kaba, lembarosh tala mazele kaparia elema. Father, we pray for baby Michael. We speak health upon his body. We speak recovery, Lord, upon him. We thank you, Jesus, that you are healing him and that you are strengthening the mother as well, oh God. We pray, breathe on your daughter, Lord Jesus. She's all alone, but she's not alone. She's with you. You are with her every step of the way. You are strengthening her heart. In Jesus' mighty and precious name, we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. One more time, I want to celebrate Pastor Pascal. I'm so grateful for the life that he is, the vision that he gives us. Please put your hands together and celebrate Muruti Warona. Hallelujah. Amen. You may take your seats in the house of God. It's a great honor. It's a great privilege for us to be led by him. Hallelujah. Here we are because of a vision. Here we are gathered because of a vision. And the fact that we can still gather together in the name of Jesus because God laid a vision in his heart to build one church in many locations, locally and globally. Many churches are being built everywhere, all around. And I believe one day you will also lead that church. You will also pastor that church. Say amen, somebody. Hallelujah. You better believe it. Hallelujah. We're going to look at that. We're continuing with the teaching. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are breathing on this word. We're left with only 50 minutes to go, Holy Spirit. But we believe you will speak to us and that you will change our lives and that we will never be the same again. Our hearts are open to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The Bible says in Mark 9:35, I get it, Jesus said, the greatest among us is the person who is serving others. We are continuing with that teaching. That Jesus said the greatest amongst us is a one who is serving others. Hallelujah. The Bible says in the book of Mark 9 verse 35, this is the word of the Lord. He sat down, called the 12 disciples over to him and said, whoever wants to be first must take last place and be the servant of everyone. Hallelujah. So Jesus is here. Why do I say that? Because the Bible says where two or more are gathered in his name, he's there also in the midst of them. Hallelujah. And wherever Jesus is, sometimes or most times, it's known or recorded that he calls his disciples. So are you the disciple of Jesus? What is a disciple? A disciple is a follower. What is a disciple? A disciple is a learner. What is a disciple? A disciple is an imitator. So we are gathered here together to, if I'm not yet a disciple, listen, by the end of this, by the end of this gathering, we must all become disciples of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So he is sitting down amongst us. Can you see him? I don't know about you, but I know that he's here. Hallelujah. I know that he's sitting down amongst us. Hallelujah. And he will move around as he pleases. Hallelujah. The Bible says he sat down, called the 12 disciples. Hallelujah. Say, I'm the one. Come on, say it like you believe it. Say, I'm the one. Hallelujah. He called the 12 disciples over to him. Amen. And he said, whoever wants to be first. Hallelujah. Whoever wants to be first must take last place and be the servant of everyone else. Hallelujah. So the desire to be first is there in us. There is a desire to be top. There is a desire to be ahead. There is a desire to be the leader. It's there in everyone, in all of us. But the Bible says, Jesus says, whoever wants to be first must take last place. So that desire, that longing to become first is an indication that yours is the last. Hallelujah. If you are here like me, you have that desire that, ish, I wish I could top them all. Ish, I wish I could outshine them all. Ish, I wish I could, you know, look better than them all. Understand that that's an indication that, hey, my dear daughter, my dear sister, the last. Hallelujah. And he says he must be the servant of everyone else. Woo! Servant of everyone else. Servants don't care when people give them orders. Therefore, servants are not easily offended. Hallelujah. Servants are not easily bothered. Servants are not easily irritated. Servants are not easily hurt. Hallelujah. They don't get it because their place is servanthood. Their position and their role is to serve others. They don't care for their names. When you walk into a bathroom and a servant was there cleaning and you say, come and clean here. I say, sorry, ma'am. Servants are very apologetic. They understand that masters can talk to them whichever way. So if Jesus is saying that we must be servants of everyone else, it means that we must treat everyone else as though they were masters. Hallelujah. As though they were the people in charge. Hallelujah. This word is uncomfortable. This word is provocative. I must treat this person like a master to me. Because in order for there to be a servant, there must be a master. And he says, must be a servant of everyone else. Which means anyone can just say, unleash my shoelaces. Anyone can just say, brush my shoes and polish them. Anyone can just say, pick up that thing. And they can throw it on the floor and say, pick it up. But the posture of a servant is, okay, I'll do it. Okay, I'll do it. This is the words of Jesus Christ. Can we put our hands together for Jesus? Hallelujah. But it takes a change of heart for you and I to take last place. Hallelujah. Yeah, because especially when we are born again and we've been taught that you are the head and not the tail. You're above only and not beneath. Hallelujah. Yeah, who must serve? Who do you think you are talking to? Who do you think you are? Hallelujah. Have you ever had to want to say to somebody, who do you think you are? Actually, this week, I witnessed somebody say to somebody who's a master, saying, who do you think you are? And this one was a servant, you understand? This one is a boss, and this is a subordinate. And it's recorded. Who do you think you are? Now you do it. You take off yours.
Hallelujah. Because naturally, nobody wants to be bossed around. Nobody wants to feel like they are being demeaned or you're not spoken to like little children. And people are, especially in this South Africa. Hallelujah. Where everything is about, listen, I will not be oppressed. I will not be dominated. It becomes very hard. We get into the things of God with that mindset. We feel like serving God is an oppression. Hallelujah. Because the promise of serving God is the reward, heavenly rewards. The promises of serving God is a heavenly appreciation. But we want physical rewards. Hallelujah. We want people to say well done to us. We want them to pat us on the shoulders. So it's very difficult. I mean, from time when we are in church like this, the Lord is speaking to us, and most of us are saying, you know what, I must be a servant. How many of you feel like that when you're in the house of God? He's like, you know what, I need to be a servant. Jesus himself. Jesus says, I must be a servant of everyone else. Okay, Lord, I hear you. I'm going to change. Hallelujah. But it takes a change of heart. And Jesus is the one who changes us. Look, myself too. I want to give out the pagamela. Hey, who do you think you're talking to like that? Don't talk to me like that. Every one of us, when somebody starts to talk to you like you are a peasant or like you are a servant, you feel like, hey, wait a minute. Just because I'm a Christian doesn't mean that I'm a doormat. Hey, wait a minute. Just because I'm a Christian doesn't think that you can talk to me anyhow. Hallelujah. Some of us can even say, you better thank God I'm born again. Some of us say that, right? We say, these people better thank God that I'm born again. They better thank God that I'm saved and I've been changed. They better thank God. We say that, right? Why? And can I say to us, some of us even say, watch it. I'm going to take the salvation and put it aside. Listen, watch it, watch it, watch it. Say with me, watch it. Some of us say, I'm going to take this salvation and put it aside. And I will deal with you. I will deal with you man to man. I will deal with you woman to woman. Hallelujah. Salvation is not something we can put aside. It's our life. Hallelujah. The Bible says, I'm reminded of the scripture in the book of Corinthians. He says, he uses the foolish things to shame the wise. He uses the weak things of this world to confound the proud. But we don't want to look foolish. You are treating me like a fool. You are speaking to me like a fool. I'm not a fool. But Jesus says, the Bible says, he uses the foolish things. It's a foolish thing to apologize to somebody who wronged you. But God chooses the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of this world to put to shame things that are mighty, which are mighty. Hallelujah. But we don't want that. We want people to know that we are not fools. I must make it known to somebody today that I am not a fool. I'm not weak. We don't want to appear weak. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You don't want to appear weak. No, they'll think I'm weak. If I just keep quiet, they'll think I'm weak. If I just let them go, they will think I'm weak. But God, not so with God. Not so with believers. Not so with Christians. God says he uses the foolish things. Your husband is not looking for you to show him how wise you are. Hallelujah. He's not looking for you to, the more you want to show, listen, I will show this man. Your wife is not looking for you to show her how wise you are. Your mother is not looking for you to show her how wise you are. Your son, no. If it's foolishness, I must look like, let it be. Because God uses the foolish things. If I look like a fool to you, let it be. Because in the end, God is honored. In the end, Jesus is glorified. In the end, I am piling up rewards for myself in heaven. Look, there are no guarantees of earthly rewards. I will not lie to you. Even though Jesus spoke about it, and he said, no one who has left their father, mother will not receive double as much in this life and in the life to come, eternal life. But most times, sometimes people died waiting. It's the reality of things. Some people have died waiting. Some people saw the, because God was glorified, was being glorified. Paul prayed a prayer. He said, there is a messenger, a thorn in my flesh. And he says, I pray to God, please take it away. Take it away. But God says, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Hallelujah. So Paul continued to preach, even though he had a thorn in his flesh. Some Bible scholars assume that the thorn was blindness, that he couldn't see. Lord, please open my eyes. How many of you know God is a miracle worker? How many of you have read that Jesus opened the eyes of the blind? So Paul went to Jesus because he also saw. I mean, Paul was preaching at one point in the book of Acts until he was preaching from morning until night. Somebody died from a story building. He fell, died there. Paul went and prayed for him. He rose up again. So he knew that it's not that God cannot do it. It's not God, that God cannot heal him or deliver him from this thorn in his flesh. Hallelujah. So are you going to say, I'm not going to serve God until this thing is taken away from me? No, we continue. Limping, we continue. Scarred, we continue. We press on. We keep on keeping on. Hallelujah. We're reading this past Friday from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I think it's from verse 3. Hallelujah. He says through pain. Let's look at it very quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Hallelujah. He says, we give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed. Verse 4. He says, but in all things we command ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in much tribulations, in needs, in distress. Verse 5. He says, in stripes, it means we are being beaten, in imprisonment, in tumults, in labors, in sleepless nights, in fasting. Let's look at it in the New Living Translation from verse 4. This is the reality of people who serve Jesus. I wish I could tell you right now that you're going to walk into a million rand. Hallelujah. I wish I could tell you right now that you were going to go there and all those people will make you sign that contract and that tender. I wish I could tell you that. But the reality of serving Jesus, the reality of the gospel, is that in everything we do, we show ourselves that we are true ministers of God. We patiently endure troubles. We patiently endure troubles and hardships and calamities of every kind. We patiently endure. Verse 5. He says, we have been beaten, been put in prison, faced angry mobs, worked to exhaustion, endured sleeplessness, and gone without food. This is it. And Jesus is looking for a people and a church that will say, Lord, I'm in it. I'm in on it. I'm not here for to be exempted from trouble. I'm not here so that I can have food to eat. I'm not here for so that you can heal my wound. I'm here because I want to serve you. I just want you. I don't want what you will give me. I'm not coming for your hand. I'm coming for your heart. Hallelujah. Yeah, look, I know that God will heal me. I know that God will save me. I know that God will spare me from this furnace fire. This was the mindset of the three Hebrew boys. When they were about to be thrown into the fire, that we read about them today, not because they said, we will go and pray and fast. They said to Nebuchadnezzar, listen, we will not bow down to you. Our God whom we serve, he will save us, even if he doesn't. Even if he doesn't. And you know what? That didn't intimidate Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar took them, all three of them, and he threw them in the furnace of fire. The people who were carrying them burned. But yet they didn't. Serving God does not mean an absence of fire. Serving God does not equal an absence of chains. Serving God does not equal an absence of sickness and disease. Paul is writing this scripture after he had an encounter with Jesus, who came, who was crucified, who died, and he rose again and has sat at the right hand of the Father. Paul has an encounter with him and he, in the road of Damascus, and Jesus says, "Why are you persecuting me?" Eventually, he becomes one of the apostles of Jesus. And in serving God, he is testifying in our service for God as we continue to march on. These are things we are facing. We are facing angry mobs. We are being put in prisons. We endure sleepless nights. We go without food. I wish I could stand here today and tell you that it's going to be all rosy. It's going to be a sweet sail, a smooth sail. It doesn't work like that. Hallelujah. Let me tell you the truth. It doesn't work like that. Jesus wants to ready our hearts. He wants the people who will follow him, not for the promise of the sweet little reliefs from our pains and our trouble. He wants the people who will serve him, not for the sweet little relief of poverty. Oh, if only I can come out of poverty. Because like I said, Paul said, "Take away this thorn from my flesh." And maybe you are here, you have your own thorn in your flesh. And Jesus is saying to you and I, "My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you." Maybe the thorn in your flesh is an abusive manager. Maybe your thorn in your flesh is your mother or your father who has abandoned you. Maybe you're battling to forgive them. Maybe you're battling to let them go. You have decided, "I can forgive this and this, but not that. Lord, you cannot expect me to forgive that one. That one is too deep." But Jesus is saying to you and I this morning, "My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you." And so the mindset should be, we are not serving God for what he will give us. We are not serving God for the breakthroughs. We are not serving God for the miracles. We are not serving God for any other reason. We don't want his hand. We want his heart. We don't want what he's holding. We're not following his hand. It's his heart we are seeking after. "I want your heart. I want your heart, Lord. I'm not coming for your hand. I'm not coming for the miracles. I'm not coming for the breakthroughs. It's your heart I look after. It's your heart I seek after. I want your heart." Hallelujah. "I'm satisfied with the goodness of your temple," as we read. "I'm satisfied with the goodness of being in your house. I'm satisfied here. I'm content here. I'm happy here. Let me serve you." Let me hear you make that prayer right now, wherever you are. Open up your mouth, says, "Lord, make me a servant. Father, make me your servant. Make me your servant, oh Jesus. Let me serve you, not for a prize, not for a reward, not for a prize." Come on, open up your mouth and begin to pray that prayer. Pray that prayer right there. Lamante kabalasta kalama. Lebrende lebazolia losta katola. Le palamanda la bazolema. Elia rosta katolama. Shabrende ste kalamanda la bazolema. Lebrende kapalama. Pelebrende rebasole mantalama. Oh, le basta katela. Paleba rosta la mande resta katolama. E palamanda rabasolema. Not for a prize, not for a reward. In Jesus' name, please take your seats in the house of God. Hallelujah. I want us to look at this word. Hallelujah. It will bless you. Hallelujah. Can you pray the prayer with me one more time? Shamanda leba. Leba rosh talama landa laba. Lemanda rosh takatola ma. Sepala manda leba hala manda leba zolema. Shebranda katolama. Shelebraba solema. Palembre basta katola manda laba lebeleba. Shelebara. Isaiah 45 verse 13. Can we look at Isaiah 45 from verse 13? Hala manda laba zole. Shebranda katola. Kolema landa laba zole. Shabrenda katalama. I have raised him up in righteousness. God has raised you up in righteousness. Nobody in your family has served Jesus. How come you are the first one? How come you're the first one to serve Jesus? Nobody in your family has stayed with Jesus. Maybe they were born again, but some of them have left along the way. How come you stayed the course? Some of us have backslidden and never looked back, but you have stayed the course. Not that it was perfect. Not that it was a smooth sail. It's been a difficult journey. It's been a difficult road, but you have stayed. I have raised her. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct his ways. He shall build my city and let my exile go free. Not for a prize, nor for reward, says the Lord of hosts. God has raised you up in righteousness. God has caused you to be here today. God has caused you to become a servant of his, to build the city. Hallelujah. He shall build my city, to build his people, to preach the gospel, to reconcile people back to himself. But this is what the Lord says. It's not for the prize, nor for the reward. Not for a prize, nor a reward. Not for a pat on the shoulder, not for the claps, no. But for the love of God, says the Lord of hosts. But for the love of God. The love of God compels me. The love of God persuades me. The love of God constrains me. Sometimes I want to give up, but yeah, man, the love of God says, get up. Get up from your corner. Get up from your hiding place. Get up. There's work to be done. Sometimes I want to feel sorry for myself, but the love of God, the love of God, the love of God, when I remember what the Lord has done, when I remember that I was born into a family that was supposed to be serving ancestors all my life, when I remember that I could have been a sangoma, when I remember that I could have been worshiping the dead, when I want to give up, the love of God compels me. When I remember that the Master came from heaven to earth to show the way, when I remember that he showed the way by enduring criticism, by enduring accusations, by enduring rejection of men, he came from heaven to earth to show the way. When I remember that he came to show me that there will be criticism, there will be accusations. People may not like you. They may not associate with you much. Oh, they can arrest you. Oh, they can beat you. Oh, they can nail you on the cross. He came from heaven to earth to show the way. Then I quickly snap out of it. I snap out of it. And I carry on with the work of Jesus. I carry on with the work of helping others leave hell and enter heaven. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debts to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. When I remember that he did all of these things to pay my debts, how could I? How could I allow the spirit of discouragement? How could I allow the spirit of defeat, the demon of discouragement and defeat, to keep me silent? The demon that tells me that you will never be able to do it. You will never be able to change anybody. Yes, I was not supposed to change anyone. He's the one who changes people. It's not the responsibility of transforming life is not mine. It's his job to change people. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. The Bible says, Proverbs 20, verse 6, most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? Who can find a faithful man? May our faithfulness be unto God. Faithfulness to God. When she was reading the scripture this morning in the book of Isaiah, let us return to him, to loving him, to being committed to him, no matter what. Say with me, no matter what. No matter what. I get it. No matter what may come away, my life is in your hand. Put your hands together for Jesus. God saved you and he saved me so that we can serve him. Exodus 1, 8, verse 1. I think we shared this verse last week. And the Lord spoke to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Hallelujah. let my people go that they may serve me. And we shared about the fact that God is not calling us out to go quit our jobs and say, no, I'm going to quit, I'm going to serve God. Medical doctors, please be doctors, but serve Jesus. Soldiers, please be soldiers, but serve Jesus. Waiters and waitresses, please carry on with your job, but serve Jesus. Construction builders, please do what you need to do, but serve Jesus. Mechanical engineer, do what you must, but serve Jesus. Hallelujah. So he's not calling all of us. It's not like Jesus is expecting all of us to say, I quit, I'm going to serve Jesus. No. You can serve Jesus right where he placed you. Your church is your office. The place where people can encounter the Lord. Hallelujah. Can we put our hands together for Jesus? Amen. So today's service, today's sermon, in the next few minutes that we are left with, is create in me a servant's heart. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. Yes. Create in me a servant's heart. Say with me, create in me a servant's heart. Yes. Create in me a servant's heart.
Create in me a clean heart and purify me. Purify me. Create in me a clean heart so that I may worship you. Say, create in me a clean heart and purify me. Purify me. Create in me a clean heart so that I may worship. Cast me not away from your presence. Please don't take your spirit from me and restore the joy of salvation so that I may worship you.
It's our prayer.
So that I may worship you. So that I may worship you.
It's our prayer here, so that we may worship. Some of us, we may think that worship is just limited to us coming together and lifting up our hands. It's a beautiful thing for us to come together, but true worship is winning souls. Yeah, here's my offering. Here's my sacrifice. Yeah, here they are. Here they are. Jesus says, all that you have given me, I have lost none. He's not talking about money. Jesus is not talking about the life. No, he's not talking about his mom and dad. No, no, no. He's not talking about his children. No, no. He says, all. Who? All. The disciples. All that you have given me, I have lost none. My worship is not me singing a song in church.
All of my worship, oh, receive my worship.
It's not this.
All of my worship, here it is. Here's my worship. All of my worship, oh, receive my worship. All of my worship.
It's not us singing songs. He loves it. Oh, but he loves it when we sing. He loves it when we lift up our hands and we worship him and we bless him. He receives that praises. The Bible says he dwells in the praises of his people. The Bible says he sits enthroned in the praises of his people. He loves it when we can come together. But it doesn't completely fulfill his heart when we are coming alone. When we are coming alone. Hallelujah. Sometimes we can be so caught up with our worship that we forget the one he came for. You are here today because somebody prayed. You are here today because somebody invited. You are here today because somebody went. Somebody called. You may say, no, nobody invited me to church. Oh, but you don't know. Somebody prayed at night. So when you saw the church, you're like, no, I must go to that church because somebody prayed. God, when they pass through the gate, when they pass through this place here, may you give them a desire to enter your house. You may not have been invited by a person.
The Holy Spirit invited you as mothers and brothers and fathers interceded in the night. This is how we worship God. This is how we serve Him, by helping others enter. We are His extensions. We are His hands. We are His feet. Hallelujah. We are wrapping it up. Tell your neighbor, let's wrap it up. Create in me a servant's heart. It's the sermon tonight. Number one, three things that you should know about the heart of man. The heart of man is deceitful. Hallelujah. Again, we spoke about it last week. The heart of man is deceitful, and it is wicked, and it's not easy to understand. The heart of man, our hearts are deceitful, our hearts are wicked, our hearts are not easy to understand. And that's the word of God in the book of Jeremiah 17 verse 1. You'll find that the heart of man is deceitful above, beyond all cure. Who can understand it? It's wicked. The other version says it is wicked. Who can understand it? It's not easy to understand the heart of man. Hallelujah. Sometimes, and I want to make this example, which the Lord gave it to me last week as I was pondering on the word. He made me realize that sometimes a man and a woman can come together so in love. Hallelujah. And a man can decide, I'm going to marry this girl. And he marries her. And she's not what he thought she was. For some reason, her heart changes in the process. She wants nothing to do with him. But they are married already. She doesn't want to serve him because Jesus is the groom. The church is the bride of Jesus. Jesus says, I love her. I'm going to give my life for her. I'm going to die for her. I love her so much. My church, I love her. She's my bride. And then he marries her. He goes and he does his part. Now here is the wife. She does not want to wake up. She does not want to cook. She does not want to be intimate. Excuse me, children. Hallelujah. She wants none of that. She wants none of that. Says, I want to be with you. The husband is like, I want to be with you. I want to love on you. Hey, I'm tired. Lovey, won't you make me a cup of tea? Oh, please, I'm just exhausted. Lovey, won't you please... Can you just give me a break? I just want you to remember that Jesus is the groom. The church is the bride. He's always asking, can you make me this? Can you serve me? Can you serve me? Oh, no. Oh, no. I'm on that time. I'm on that time of the month. Hey, no. It's not going to work. Not tonight. Not today. Hallelujah. Sometimes the Lord, the Holy Spirit gave me this example also with a father who's rich, who has everything, and has a little girl who's running around with the sugar daddy. The sugar daddy doesn't love her. He just wants to use her and abuse her. She's running away from the father, rebellious to the father, because God is our father. Rebellious to the father. Don't talk to me. I know my rights. The father says, don't dress like that. I dress the way I want. Don't go there. I go where I want. You will not tell me. Hallelujah. And she's chasing the sugar daddy. She's chasing for the things the father already has. It helped me understand the patience of the father. The patience of the husband, Jesus. He is so patient with us. You see, sometimes the physical husband will get tired. Say, you know what? I'm sick and tired of this. I need to see your mother and my in-laws. Let's have a meeting. I'm sick and tired of this. Call everybody here. This wife. No, 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 no. But I can tell you right now, there is a husband out there who is patient. Whom, you know, all she wants is to appear like we're a solid unit. When we are out there, I love my husband. When we are together in the church, I say, oh, I love you, Jesus. But in the secret, go and win souls. Oh, you, I'm tired. Go and visit that one. Ooh, no. Call that one. Ooh, what if they don't answer? What am I going to say? But when we are together, thank you. Yeah, we love our union, right? Yeah, everybody, can you see? So I love him when I'm in church. I can lift up my hands and say, I love you.
But at home, when it's just me and him, and he says, baby girl, go. Say, hi, Bo. Hi, Bo. Who went for me? Who reached me? Who won me? But you were won by intercessions and prayers of others. The Bible says that he's patient, though. He is so patient. And that's why we love him. Because even though we reject him, we walk away from him. He sends us to go this way. We say, leave me alone. He says, when he sends us people to call us, we drop their phones. When we understand to check on us, no, don't talk to me, don't. But he is ever so patient. He's ever so, you see, earthly husband, earthly fathers can get tired. They can get weary, but he never gets tired. His patience knows no measure. Hallelujah. The Bible says that he does not treat us the way we treat him. He does not treat us according to our sins deserving. We deserve him to leave us, but he will not. He will not. I will never leave you. He will never leave you. He will never leave you. Yeah. He will never leave you. 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 He may, look, earthly people can leave.
Yeah.
We can get tired. We can get weary. We can say, it's not working, but not Abba Father. You see, even as we are walking away from him, he's looking at us. He's like, don't go. Don't go. As you're walking away, I'm going to enjoy my youth. I'm young. He's looking at us like, don't go. And as the world abuses us, as the world persecutes us, sometimes we are not leaving because we have left the church. No, we are leaving because I got a new job. So I'm working extra hours. I'm working late night shift. I'm working this. This has become my priority. That I have no time for you. He's like, oh, it's not the reason I gave you that job. It's not the reason I gave you that breakthrough. The purpose was so that I can be closer to you. Look, I have done a job where I've had to work shifts. Me too. Most of my jobs. But I don't know. For some reason, I was in the house of God. For some reason, I paid people. You will work for me this Sunday. How much do you want? You'll do my shift. Hallelujah. For some reason, I've always been in the house of God. For some reason. I mean, I was a receptionist at the vacation club. I was an events manager. Do you know what events managers do? Those people don't have life. Sorry, events people. But you live it events. You are thinking function sheet. As you are sleeping, you are thinking, did I flag the tablecloth? Hallelujah. It's a consuming job. I don't think it's for married people. Because I don't know how marriage can work with that type of job. And marriage and children. But I was that. I was that not for 2 years, for I think 6 or 7 years of my life. But I was in the house of God. Hallelujah. For some reason, I am bargaining. I must be there. For some reason, I must be there. Hallelujah. So I'm sharing with us here to make us realize that it's possible. The job does not have to be the God. Hallelujah. The school doesn't have to be the God. The university studies does not have to be the God. There are people who are even busier, but God is their God. It's possible. It's possible. And why is it important to come to the house of God? Because the more you come to the house of God, the more you are aware many other people need to be in the house of God. There are many people that are missing out. Hallelujah. I'm going to give us this with the last word now. 7 ways to serve him from our heart. Serve out of love and not mere duty. Love him. So the first thing to pray for is, Lord, let me love you. Let me love you. Let me love you. Pray for the love of God. The Bible says in John 21:15. So when they had
eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. Prove that you love. The love language of Jesus is people. Your love language could be time. It could be quality time. It could be acts of affections, acts of kindness, all the services. But the love language of Jesus Christ is feeding people. This whole scripture from 15 right to 18, he's talking about that. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. 16. He said to him again a second time, Peter, pull me. Petros, Joe, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. Proof of love for God is people. Proof of love, evidence that we love him. He loves it when we sing for him. Hallelujah. But anybody can sing. Proof of love for Jesus is people. He said to him, tend my sheep. The third time, 17, he said to him the third time, Kagiso, Komotso, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. So serve him from the heart. Hallelujah. The second point, serve him without complaining. Philippians 2:14, do everything without complaining or arguing. Serve him without complaining. Number three, serve him without arguing or fighting. Number four, serve him without competing. Compliment. Hallelujah. It's not about, oh, I can sing better than this one, or I can gather better than this one, or I can do, no competition. Number five, serve him without trying to impress. He must be glorified. He must take the spotlight. You're not looking for the spotlight. He needs to take the spotlight. So don't try to impress. Hallelujah. Number six, serve him with absolute purity. Hallelujah. Which means your intentions are clear. Which means what he wants is what I want. He doesn't want me to have sex until I'm married. It means I must break up with this man. Because we already got ourselves used to doing it. So because I want to serve him with purity, I must take away anything that defiles, anything that corrupts. So I'm jealous. I'm envious. So I'm always wishing bad things on other. My heart is not right. That is not pleasing to him. Hallelujah. So serve him with absolute purity. 1 Timothy 5 verse 1 to 2. Do not rebuke older men harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women and mothers as mothers, and young women as sisters with absolute purity. Appeal. So which means that, Lord, I've got an inclination. My eyes look at women and I lust after them. God, when I look at that sister as she worships, I want to undress her. My eyes undress her. Serve him with absolute purity. Oh God, when I see her calves, oh God. Oh God, when I look at his broad shoulders, oh God. Serve him with absolute. Lord, there's my eyes, God. My eyes, Lord. My eyes. Psalm 119, I think 135. David prayed, turn my eyes away from looking at worthless things. These eyes, Lord, they keep looking at things that are not pleasing to you. My eyes, oh God. My eyes. Because how do we get corrupted in our hearts? By things we see. Things we listen to. They come to the heart. The lamp of the body is the eyes. Hallelujah. Number seven, serve him not for what you are getting out of it. 1 Peter 5:2 says, care for the flock that God has entrusted you. This word is not for pastors. It's not for apostles and bishops. It's for every Christian. And this is what God is saying to all of us. Care for the flock. What is the flock? The people. Care for the people. Care for the people. Hallelujah. Care for the flock that God has entrusted you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly. Not for what you will get out of it, but because you are eager to serve God. Not for what you will get out of it. I'm eager to serve you. Hallelujah. How to receive a servant's heart? Give God your current heart. Can I tell you, my heart is corrupt. My heart is damaged. My heart is bad. That's why I have to present it to God. Hallelujah. This heart is full of jealousy, competition, comparison, anger, unforgiveness. That's why I have to present it to God. Hallelujah. So give your heart. My son, give me your heart. God is saying in Proverbs 23:26, my son, give me your heart. Let your eyes delight in my ways. Number two, receive a new heart from him by the Holy Spirit. Ezekiel 36:26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from your heart a stone and give you a heart of the flesh. With every head bowed. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, I give you my heart. I live for you, I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Have your way in me, have your way in me.
Maybe you are in this place this morning. Jesus doesn't have your heart. Like me, you are saying, my heart is not for God. I don't have total devotion. I'm not totally faithful to God. I'm faithful to God and faithful to other things. Tonight, I want to give God my heart. I want him to take my heart. I want him to take my heart. Lord, have my heart. I can't change my heart. I can't change my ways. I've tried many times, but I've failed. So today, Lord, I've come to your house and I've come to ask you to change me. Change my heart. If that's you today, it's your prayer. As we've been receiving the word of God this morning, you're saying, my prayer is to have a new heart. The Bible says in the book of Ezekiel that I will give you a new heart. So God can give us all new hearts today. God, give me a new heart. At the count of three, if that's you, you're saying, God, give me a new heart. Please lift up your hand and we're going to pray together. One, two, three. Raise up your hand high. I want a new heart. God sees your hand. I want your new heart. I want a new heart. God sees you. You can put your hands down. Maybe you are here, you are born again, but you know that you haven't been serving Jesus with a devoted heart. You're saying, Jesus, I'm coming again. I'm coming again. I've lost my way. I went off track. I lost my way with you. I backslid. I want to come back to you. At the count of three, you can also lift up your hand and we're going to pray with you. If you're saying, I want to be restored, my fellowship, my communion, my intimacy with God, my ability to obey the word of God, the commandment of God. At the count of three, lift up your hands. Also, we'll pray together. One, two, three. Raise up your hands. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. He sees your hand. If you've lifted up your hand, I want you to take one more step. Please don't be ashamed. Don't care about who's standing next to you. Take a bold step and put action to your faith. Say, God, I'm coming to you. Come and join me here. Come. Please take a step and come and join me here. Come and join me here. Come. 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 Come and join me right here. Come. 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 Take a step. Church, let's put our hands together for them. Come. Come. Take a step for Jesus. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm just, let's put our hands together for them. Everywhere of yours, Lord, I give you, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I need for you, my Lord, for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment, can you repeat after me this prayer? Can you lift up your hands to the Father? You've come to the Father. You've come to the Father. From today, you are not just his people. You are his sons and daughters. And today, as you make this confession before these people, you are making a vow and commitment to the Father, to Jesus, that you will rely on him, that you will depend on him, that you will look to him and trust on him to help you live a holy life, a life that is pleasing unto him. Repeat this prayer after me with your hands lifted up. Don't look around. Say after me, dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I'm free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me Thank you, Jesus, for restoring me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we want to say thank you for our brothers and sisters tonight, today, who have made a bold step, who have made a bold step, a public declaration that they belong to you, that they are saying no to the world, that they are turning their back against the world to face you, Lord. I pray that you will help them, that you will write their names in the Lamb's Book of Life. I pray, Father God, that one day they will stand before you and hear you say to them, well done, good and faithful servant. Father, help them as they walk out of this place, oh Jesus. Spirit of the living God, I pray that you will flow, that you will fill them with the fullness of who you are. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will inhabit their hearts. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will dispel any other defiling spirit that had made its home within them, Lord God, that they walk out as marked ones. They walked out as set apart ones. They walked out as ones who are sanctified for your glory, oh Father God. Use them, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.